In the 5th chapter of Isaiah in verse 18, sin is likened to a cart rope. I'm sorry, to a cart, a wagon. And that which connects us to sin is likened to a cobweb and then a cart rope. One day a person dabbles with a sin. He intends to break it. He does not intend to make it a habit. He does not intend to live in sin, but rather to pass through a sojourn. He does not intend to dwell there. He intends to take a vacation there for a season. And so, that which holds him to the sin is no stronger than a cobweb. Easy to break. Only one time he's committed a certain sin. You know, everybody knows, easy to break it. You look at the thing that holds you to that sin and say, well, I can sit that easily. I can just break it like that, the cobweb. But you don't. And then you have two cobwebs. And then before you know it, it gets a little bigger. You don't break it. And bigger. And finally, one day you say, it's about time I took this sin. I've been intending to quit. It's time I turned my back on this sin. And you say, I'm going to break it now. Where's that cobweb? Where's that cobweb? Where's that cobweb that's been holding me to sin? Oh my, it's no cobweb any longer. It's a rope. And I can't break it. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, that's why the first time you commit a sin, you ought to forsake it. People often say, sometimes a Pharisee will say, I don't see any all these people coming down the aisle on Sunday night, dealing the order, Sunday night after Sunday night. And I know it's obvious from your attitude you haven't been doing it. You know why it's a good idea? If the preacher preaches on a sin that you've been committing, or the preacher alerts you to something that you need to improve, why it's a good idea to make a break now? Why? Well, it's a cobweb break it going into the tongue of the Lord. Break it while it's a cobweb, and the writer says, whoa, that person that looks and says, I forget the sin. I'm in a certain sin. I can break it. It's like a cobweb. It's no problem at all. But before you know it, that sin gets bigger, and in order to pull that sin, you have to have a bigger rope. And the sin gets bigger, and you get a bigger rope. And the sin gets bigger, and you get a bigger rope. So finally you come to a day when you say, okay, I'll quit the smoking now, but you can't. I'll quit the necking and petting now, but you can't. I'll quit the liquor now, but you can't. I'll quit the gossip now, but you can't. I'll quit the cursing now, but you can't. What's that? That young girl back there in the back, I want you to listen to me. All you young folks listen to me. Put yourself up and listen to what I'm preaching. I want you to know a word I say. One of these days you're going to be bound to some awful sin that will have you like a rope, and it will tie you to sin like a rope. And you'll wish that some Sunday night you to sit up and hear what the preacher had to say while it was only a cobweb. That's why I make the kids listen. And by the way, as long as I'm behind this pulpit, I intend to keep on making the kids listen. You know why? Because while sin is a cobweb, while it can be broken, I want to plead with the young people and plead with the older people alike to break the bands of sin while they're just as weak as cobwebs. And so you look one day and you find that which you used to could have broken just like this, you think you're still pulling sins out of cobweb, but you're not. It's a cart rope. Look at the painted face in the Kansas City Tavern. Sometimes I'm driving, make a call or something, or going to see my mother or something, I'll drive down State Line, or I'll drive down a State Street and through the Kansas City, just an old strip over there, and I'll see girls, young women, walking down, obviously employed by those places. Then I look at their painted faces, and their bodies placed on exhibit like they were in a county fair somewhere, or a hogs in a hog judging contest. Look at their hairstyles. Look at their harlotry being advertised. And by the way, That's one reason why people wear indecent clothing. They have something to advertise. You don't have the merchandise, quit advertising it. And so, I look at those poor girls, they think they're pretty, but no decent young man thinks they're pretty. It's all a painted-on kind of a harlot of beauty that appeals to a lustful nature of weak and wicked and sinful minds. Look at that painted face in the Candidate City Tavern. There was a day when some mother gave birth to a precious baby girl with dreams and hopes and maybe even prayers. And there was the feeding, the careful feeding, the rocking at night, and the tender caressing and loving. Every one of those women, the girls over in these taverns, these tall girls and go-go girls, at one time, they were the object of some mother's love and some father's pride. But there came a time in their lives when one night the wicked and lustful hands of a careless boy placed the face on her body. There came a night when she yielded the first time because she wanted to be popular and everybody else was doing it. It was only a cobweb. It was not a rope. Just a cobweb. I can quit anytime I want to quit. But that was the second time. And there was the third. And there was the second boy. And there was the third. Till finally one day that precious girl who one day was the object of a mother's love and care and concern had sold herself before into sin. The cobweb that once held her to the cart of sin is now a rope. And now, why don't she leave? She can't get away. I know what I'm talking about. I've had them come to my office. I've had the women and girls from the county that say, Cicero, come to my office. I've had them put their heads on my desk and I've had them weep and sob and their bodies literally come out. And they say, I can't give it up. I can't. I'm too far gone. I'm too far gone. I can't forever. That little cobweb that you played with one night on a dark road when some dirty young man who said he loved you but didn't put his wicked hands on your body and stole from you that which is holy and virtuous and right. That cobweb that you gave you hooked on the kind of sand that night has now become a tightrope. And that young girl over there in Candyland City who once was a pure, sweet young lady now. A fallen woman giving her body to the wicked hands of men who pay for her services. Why? Because she carried sin by a cobweb, and that cobweb is became a cartrope, and now she can't break it. Look at the addict stealing to buy more narcotics. Look at the fellow who carefully creeps up to the house of someone who's got a home. With a tray, he's learned, he opens the door, goes in the house, and with hands they're trembling, takes the television set, the radio, or some jewelry, with trembling hands and a hungry body, hungering for dope, narcotics, and that which he needs is to satisfy his hunger and lust. He takes that which is not his and steals outside the house, and policemen come, take the fingerprints and try to find who he is. See the covetous hands of that young man. Those hands were once hands that touched the face of a loving mother. Those hands were once the hands that held the big hand of a daddy who loved him and cared for him. What happened? One night some dirty man out of Calicell tried to sell some high school boy a marijuana, a cigarette, a bit of marijuana, or a bit of dope. Let me tell you something. That fellow who's got to sell you or give to you, that which will take away your senses and dog your mind and wreck your body. He's a big Satan helper and an aid of hell. That's what he is. Don't you listen to him. He's not a regular guy. He creeps up to you, and then what you did, you didn't want to say no. I'm sick and tired of folks saying, everybody else is doing it. Well, that doesn't make one bit of difference, my brother. Everybody else does it. You're not supposed to do that which is wrong, and you're supposed to do that which is right. I don't care. A whole world does it. In God's name, be decent and be right, and be what God wants you to be. And so you down, you took one little puff on that little marijuana cigarette. What happened? You had a cord, a cobweb, that was holding you to sin. No problem. You can quit. But that was the second time. The cobweb got bigger. The third time, the cobweb was bigger and bigger and bigger. So finally, one day, you said, I've got to quit this thing. It's getting hold of me. Okay, cobweb, I'll fight you.
But it wouldn't be.
Because it's no longer a cobweb. It's a cartrope now. And you're so bound to the sin of narcotics, you've got to have it. You'll steal the addict. I'm simply saying, those young boys that break in houses and steal and break in banks and steal and rob people and take their money to get dope. One time they was bound by cartrope or bound by cobweb. Instead of coming to a church like this some Sunday night and to preach your preach like I'm preaching tonight, and came down the aisle and broken that sin and broken that bind of sin, what is a cobweb? They wouldn't be slaves to a cartwheel tonight. Look at the rhino stumbling in the rescue mission. Something quite so sad to me as these good men, and I mean in many cases they are good men who come to our mission. I'm thinking now of one of our men. He said tonight, I'm sure, he's one of the nicest men you'd want to know. He's done as much for our church as most anybody. But he's bound to wine by a cartrope. Look at the man who leaves his way, seeing two sidewalks instead of one, two doorknobs instead of one, two rescue mission superintendents instead of one, who comes in a rescue mission and staggers in. You have to have someone. I have to have them knock on my door. Mission men, knock on my door and say, teacher, let me have a dollar. Let me have a dollar. Teacher, I've got to have a dollar. And I'll say, what's this for? I'm trying to taper off of all the cloth. I've got to have just a little bit. I'm going to taper off the cloth. And I'll say, if you lie in the floor and kick and scream and wallow and fall with the mouth and vomit on the floor, you will not get $1 from me to buy this still lying with. A dollar. See those men down by cartwheel. Down by sin. No interference in sin. Hasn't always been that way. There was a time when some wicked school teacher said, come on, take a drink and be one of the gang. Hell won't be too hot for that kind of school teacher. There were cobwebs down under the cart of sin. I can spend time I want to quit, but if you can, you better quit while you can quit, and what if the cobweb? There was a time when those were men who had dreams. I've talked to them. I've talked to many of them who had dreams of the future. All these rescue mission men, his wife has been wrecked by sin, and he's a good man now, by the way. Still tempted and sometimes healed. I talked to him, and my complete surprise, he was the captain of the basketball team at Hammond High School. One of the most popular boys in the Hammond High School years ago. On the baseball team. One of the outstanding athletes. What happened? One day one of the guys on the team thought it was being a man to offer him a drink. Maybe. No real man can. But you're not a man if you yield to temptations and yield to passions and he wanted to be a man. What happened? He turned to liquor and turned to wine. And now! That cobweb that he had as a boy, had it been broken, he could have been a free man living a decent life today. The cobweb became a cartwheel. There was a time when this man right here, Harold Sullivan, who's lost an arm because of sin, who owned three taverns and less than a mile from where I'm standing right now, who stumbled into our mission several years ago and got converted, he's now director of the Hammond Rescue Mission. There was a day when he was a proud, when a mother and a father were proud of him, as there's no mother and father were of you. And there was a day when they had dreams, and he had dreams, and they had hope, and he had hope. What happened? Young people, listen to me while I'm preaching. What happened? I know what happened. One day, some evil tempter came, and tried to say, oh, that was good. The sin was good. Well, a cobweb tied onto the cart of sin and tied onto Harold Sullivan. And then one day he stumbled in the rescue mission down here. That cobweb had become a cartrope. He pulled on his shoulder the weight and the load of sin. Barely able to stand up and walk inside the mission. What happened? The cobweb had become a cartrope. And that's why. The first little inkling you see of a sin, the first little yielding that you do, the first little time you commit it, forsake it, flee it, what is the cobweb? The day will come when you will not be able to break it because it will be a cobweb. Listen to the gossip. This is that person Jackson talked on the telephone last week and ran down people at the church. This is that person who's become a habitual gossip. Has it always been that way? The people here tonight in this room who once cooperated in everything that God led us to do in this place. Never criticized anybody. Never stayed in judgment at all against anything that's going on for God. Cooperative. Loyal. What happened? One night they got to the wrong crowd. All Christian people, but the critical crowd. The kind that nits at this and nits at that and criticizes this. And they tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to answer to God and for am I for all the sitting around and criticizing we do of any living human being. God deliver us from that kind of garbage. It's as rotten as liquor, as rotten as dope. The same comes from hell. There was a time when that gossip was a cooperative person. All of a sudden you could see that person maybe going around with somebody who has a critical nature. Did you know the bus manager? And did you know the car? And you know the hire? Well, and did you know the youth manager? Did you know the fish? And then the rest commission? And the college? And then the 40 and more? This little critic and this little critic. Listen, why is this misery? I beg you in God's name, why is the call? We'll break it! One of these days you will be a cynical critic is what you'll be. And you're not hurting anybody but yourself. You hurt anybody but yourself. In the name of Jesus Christ, for your own sake, not for mine, I couldn't care less. For your sake, let it break it, what it's a cobweb. How about my friend? Don't run around with a critical crowd. You know who you are. I don't know, but you know. For the sake of your own spiritual goals, for the sake of souls, for the sake of the word of God, in God's name. What is a cobweb, break it? Look at these. Extortioner being led with handcuffs to the prison cell. Look at his eyes. A certain kind of a look he has out of his eyes. A look of deceit. A look of cheating. A look of extortion. Look at it. As he follows with his hands cuffed to the wall. And as he goes toward the prison, look at it. He hasn't always been held by those cart ropes. There was a time when he just cheated on a test at school. And his dishonesty to the top there. There was a time when he just slipped first through the face of the coach. And his dishonesty to the cobweb. There was a time when all he did was cheat on his income tax. And his dishonesty with the cobweb. There was a time when all he did was rob God from the offering place for bad, and his dishonesty was a cobweb. But look, the Watergate men, they didn't all of a sudden become guilty of these crimes they committed. They're bound by a rope tonight, but it has always been that way. If some preacher is still up and preach to those dear men, many of them I think who've been mistreated and many who are getting what they deserve, but if some preacher stood up, backed on and said, don't cheat on death, and they could have broken that dishonest attitude and mind and heart while it was a cobweb, they wouldn't be in prison tonight. Look at the foul, listen to the foul mouth person profaning God's name. Listen to his dirty jokes. The other day a man called on the telephone to the church office and I talked to him. He told me about a man who holds an office in this church. He's on the deacon board. I hope it's not true. Who on the job has a mouth that is as foul as hell itself. Let me tell you something. If you're going to curse anywhere, you're on the deacon board in God's name. Get right or get off one or the other. Why are you carrying a deacon name, a deacon of Baptist church, and cursing and telling Philip that dirty, smutty story? That's not what God intended for deacons to be when he said men who are of good report and filled with the Spirit of God. But that man who profanes God's name and is bound to lust and bound to dirty stories and bound to cursing, the foul mouth man, hasn't always been that way. If one day when he said, gee whiz, if some preacher preached the next Sunday night and thought it was a cobweb, he'd come down and drop him out with God, he'd never profane God's name with his mouth. If some preacher stood up and warned him the first time he ever read a Playboy magazine or looked at a dirty Playboy calendar, if some preacher stood up and said, play that counterpart, run from it, turn from it, or if the cop left, he wouldn't get down to the cords of a foul mouth tonight. Oh, let me tell you, my friend, listen to me. When that sin first places its ugly thing in you, all of a sudden you feel the awful conviction of I've done wrong, I've sinned that first time in God's name. That's the time to break the cord. What is the cobweb and not a cotton? Look at the backslider. Look at the backslider. Didn't happen all of a sudden. You left one of them tonight, didn't you? By the way, watch it, ladies and gentlemen. It's hot. It's summertime. It's easy to backslide. It's easier to get the cobweb started in the summertime than any other time. More people gossip in the summertime than any other time. More people get mad in the summertime than any other time. It's 10 times as hard to pass the curse in the summertime as it is any other time. As they say, watch it, if you see the least little bit of the critical tongue, come to the altar, get on your knees and break it while it's a cobweb. If you have a desire to stay home on some Wednesday night because the World Football League televised the game or has a game on Wednesday night, but if you can, if you do it one time, you break it while it's a cobweb and get back down to church on Wednesday night. The backslider, didn't happen all of a sudden. It was once the cobweb. I'll be gone one minute tonight. On vacation, I'll not go to church. Well, let's say I have 99.5 feet, but I'll stay home on Sunday night. Another minute tonight. Another. And Sunday night. Another. And Sunday morning. After a while, you're a full-grown backslider. Down to backsliding by heart and not a cobweb. 15 years I've been standing behind this pulpit of the World Next Door. For 15 years on Sunday night, I've been trying to warn you of the sins that you committed as soon as I see the least little sign of them. I have examined this church like a diagnostician in a hospital. I have taken God's spiritual stethoscope and placed it on your heart. I have taken your spiritual temperature for 15 years. And I've done as best I can every Sunday night to warn our church about any sin that I see creeping in, any burden or problem I see that might cause a heartache in the future. When you, from the Holy Spirit, comes along to you and says, you've done so and so wrong, break it, but it's a cobweb. This is the cobweb of one criticism that makes the cardinal for the pity. It's the cobweb of one drink that makes the cardinal of an alcoholic. It's the cobweb of one parked car that makes the cardinal of an immoral person. It's the cobweb of one cigarette that makes the cardinal of a nicotine addict. Is the cobweb of one little white liar that makes the cartwheel of a big liar? Is the cobweb of one gossip that makes the cartwheel of a gossiper? Is that cobweb of one little sin that he wriggles its way like a worm inside the heart? That one day causes it to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So one day you're so bound by sin, only God himself and the power of the Holy Spirit can break that which ties you to your sin. Don't play with a cobra, even if it's only a foot long. Keep from the edge of the precipice. Don't get close. Even cobweb close to sin. Young people, that boy that you want to go with tonight is not what you want to be, whom you hope that you can change so you can marry him someday. It'll only be a cobweb now, but you'll be bound by cartrope one of these days in a life of sin, unhappiness, and misery, and sorrow. And it's right now because it's only a cobweb, but it'll become a cartwheel.
How does it happen?
Let me give you a few steps. The first place, the Lord is light at first. The cobweb is all you need to pull the load of sin, because sin is fun, and it's light. No one's over a burden. You have sin. You latch yourself onto some sin. It's fun to pull. No cobweb can pull it. Start without a heavy burden at first. Sin's always that way. I've said this time and time again. I've said it every night. The best sin you ever spend in the world is the first day. This work every day. And the worst day you ever spend for Jesus is the first day. It gets better every day. And so what happens? That's why, as I say again, that's why you all walk the aisle. That's why, when all of a sudden the Spirit of God says, this is wrong, get on your knees at the altar. Ask God to forgive you and break it while it's a cobweb. There's a second step. The weight increases. As the weight of the load of sin increases, so does the necessity of increasing the size of the rope. So finally, that sin that you fall so lightly and so glibly with so much fun and so much grace and delight and thrill to the cobweb because it was so fun whatsoever. That sin got heavier and heavier and heavier. And to keep you tied to that sin, you had to get to your cartwheel. Sin's that way. It gets heavier, 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 heavier. You just knew that the gossip listened for the first time, and the fallen woman gave her body for the first time, and the alcoholic took a drink for the first time. But not only is it true that the weight increases, but the road gets worse, and the ruts get deeper, and the hills get steeper, the longer you pull the cart of sin. When I was a kid, there's a hill in our neighborhood called Thomas Hill. Thomas Hill, we used to have a Willys car. Anybody ever have a Willys car? Willys started making Jeeps the first time. How many of you had a Willys car? W-I-L-Y-S-T-S. Can you recall what was characteristic of those Willys cars? Somebody tell me out loud. What did they do? Come on, you're just supposed to be older than I am. If you're not too smart in that shape. The clutch slip. The clutch slip on a Willys car. What does that mean? That means what it means when you push on accelerator, it goes, yeah, it wouldn't catch. The truck wouldn't catch, and it wouldn't go. And I can recall my dad coming down one side of Thomas Hill, trying to get enough speed going down one side of Thomas Hill so he could go up the other side of Thomas Hill. I can recall my dad saying, son, we're not going to make it this time. We're almost at the top of Thomas Hill, but the truck was slipping. We couldn't run in front of it. So we had to back down Thomas Hill. We had to back down Thomas Hill fast enough so we could back up the other side of Thomas Hill high enough so we could come back down the other side of Thomas Hill fast enough so we could climb the other side of Thomas Hill and get up on top of the hill. My dad says, son, you have to get out of the car. In fact, he'd say, son, take the stairs back into the car and roll it up the hill because with you in the car, we can't make it up Thomas Hill. I recall one day I was praying. I used to pray around Thomas Hill a lot. It's down close to my favorite Spartan Zoo. And that's where I met Little Vineyard. And, I was playing down around the zoo, and I was riding the bicycle at Thomas Hill, and I saw something that was a sight. I saw some horses carrying a load coming down Thomas Hill. And all of a sudden, the load of the horses dropped it heavy. That the wagon ran over the horses. And the horses were literally tumbling down the hill because we're going down Thomas Hill, an amazingly steep hill. We don't have any hill about that in this area. An amazingly steep hill. And the horses were going too fast. The load got so heavy and the cart behind them got so heavy it rolled over the horses and the horses and the cart rolling. And that's what sin does. You pull it and it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. Now, when you start down here, you think you're going uphill, but you start down here, and you go faster, and faster, and faster, go finally, it'll catch up with you, and it'll destroy you, while you're just starting it, take it from the cobweb. I'm talking to folks tonight, if you don't break some habits you've got tonight, it's going to be a cart race, and you're going to find yourself bound by sin, so you cannot break it one of these days. The road gets worse, the ruts get deeper, the hills get steeper, and you have rough days ahead. What is your sin tonight? What's that sin you've just begun tonight? I'm talking to a young couple tonight and hiding in the hallways over here, in the dark recesses of the hallways, hiding from the preacher, hiding from your parents, doing things you know are wrong. That's it, what it's accomplished. I'm talking to young people who've been talking back to parents, telling your mother to shut up, and your father to be quiet, being disobedient. It's a conflict tonight. You'll be begging against all authority after a while. You'll be a cockroach, break it while it's a cobweb. I'm talking to some young man tonight who's just begun to smoke. Quiet! While it's a cobweb, you'll be a cockroach after a while. I'm talking to some 2 or 3 young ladies who said to me this week, I'm tired of being good. I'm tired of being good. And sometimes, young lady, maybe we're not gifted with as much natural beauty as some others. But besides, that the only way she can get a boyfriend or get a husband is to sell out and be bad. You will live in hell on earth with that kind of a man. He's not worth the trouble it takes you to get him. One of these days, that cobweb that's tempted you tonight to sell out your virtue and sell out your decent sense and break to his face and be a bad girl to get a husband. One of these days, it'll become a heart rope that'll bind you to a sin you can't give up, and your life and hope for the future are all gone. The road gets worse, the ruts get deeper, the hills get steeper. May I say this very quickly, and that is, it matters not if you have gotten to the place of where you're cobweb is a cartrope. There's still a way you can break it. Now, I'm going to say this. If it's a cobweb, you can break it yourself. You can break it yourself. But after all, I'm talking to some folks tonight. Most of you tonight have cobwebs tying you to sin. Most of you. You can break it yourself. I mean that. You want to smoke one cigarette, you can quit. That's God to help you. Fix yourself. Nobody God, you should be helping the alcoholic. You better fix yourself. Bible says, forsake your sin. You only had one drink? Quit it! So what shall I do? Get in the refrigerator and get the beer out of the refrigerator and go outside and find some big rock and break it! Quit it. If you're hurting with some sin tonight, it does not yet have you as its addict. Quit it, forsake it, but wait a minute. Maybe tonight there's some of you in this building. It's too late for you. It's already possible. I'm thinking about a man in this room tonight. I love him like I love my own brother. I could say a son is almost young enough to be my son. He looks old enough to be my brother or my father. I love him very much. There was a day when he took something that was a little cobweb. Tonight it's a cargo. It's got him bound. I love him very much. I've counseled him very much. I weep when I see him. If tonight it's that way for you, I'm thinking about a couple in this room tonight that I know are bound by narcotics. A cartwheel. I'm thinking of some, I started saying men. I don't know what to call them. I'm thinking of some homosexuals right now who come to this church regularly, hear me preach regularly, who are bound to cartwheel. Let me pause to say this. The first time, you little boys tonight, and you young boys, the first time some fella comes up and wants to do things to you sexually. I mean the least little bit. Forgive me for saying it rather crudely, but knock the fire out of him. And if there's some young boy tonight in this room who's committed some wrong just a time or two with some other boy, break your father to cobweb. It'll be a cartwheel one of these days. There are folks in this room tonight whose cobweb is a cartwheel. There are folks in this room tonight who are alcoholics. It once was a cobweb, it's now a curtain. There are folks in this room tonight who are dope addicts. It once was a cobweb, it's now a cardboard. There are folks in this room tonight who are gossipaholics. I mean, it's as much of them as for a bird to fly or a fish to swim. Gossip and criticism is in their bones. It was a cobweb. It's now a cardboard. There are folks in this room tonight who lust. There's a young man in this room tonight. He only here and I know it. He has to go, he says, just to sex, X-rated movies. He has to see illicit sex given on screen. It's a cartwheel. It's a cartwheel. Used to be a cobweb. Now it's a cartwheel. I spent most of my time tonight warning you folks who have cobwebs binding you to the cart of sin, but let me just say to those of you perchance who are bound by cart rope to sin, though you cannot yourself break that cart rope, thank God there's a way it can be broken. And that way is through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit gives you the victory in your life. It can be broken. It can be. Years ago, when the horses pulled most of the loads, remember the days when the ice cream man came, in a cart pulled by a horse. Some of you young folks don't remember this. First of all, it's recall when the milkman came in a horse pulled by, not a horse, in a cart pulled by a horse. I didn't recall when the milkman came in a cart pulled by a horse. And the ice cream man, sure you do. There was an old horse back in those days. They never took him out of his harness. He stayed in his harness all the time. He got older and older, and they never took him out of his harness. Or they were afraid if they ever took him out of his harness, he'd fall to pieces. Somebody asked them one time, said, why don't you take the horse out of his harness? And they said, we're afraid you'll fall to pieces. Take him out of his harness. Sins that way. I didn't go down to the red light district every once in a while, says one. I'd fall apart. If I didn't have my liquor every day, I'd fall apart. If I didn't have my cigarette, I'd have a nervous breakdown. If I didn't take my dope, I'd fall apart. You'd be surprised, dear friends, if you'd ever get out of that harness. You'd find a new freedom you never knew in your life before. If you'd come to Him who is the only power in this world that can deliver you and break the cartwheel when the cobweb has become a cartwheel over Jesus and the power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit can break it. But thank God it can, He can, and He will, and He does. All this room tonight, there are men who once were bound to sin by cartwheels who come to Christ and been delivered from the power of sin. All this room tonight, do you know the ex-prostitutes in this room tonight? Which are the finest ladies we have in our church. How did it happen? They came in contact with the only power in this world that can break the cartwheel between an individual and his sin. The men that are out of this room who used to be pimps. I mean, the men in this room tonight who used to go out and drum up merchandise for fallen women. And now they're respectable people, and in some cases they hold offices in this church. How did it happen? They couldn't break the cart rope themselves, but they came to Him who alone can break the cart rope who binds the sin to the sinner to his sin. Jesus delivered them. St. Augustine, after his conversion, walking down the street one day, and he met a prostitute. One with whom he had sinned, one of the fallen women whom he had paid for her vices and her loss. St. Augustine has been converted since he'd seen her last. As he walked by her, she said, Austin, it is I. It is I, Austin. St. Augustine kept on rushing. Austin, it is I. Austin, it is I. And St. Augustine turned around and said, but I'm not Austin anymore.
I'm not Austin anymore. I realized that I was a sinner, that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sinners.
I have come to Him and received Him as my Savior. I have been born again. I am a new creature. I'm not Austin anymore.
And that's exactly what God offers to every person who's bound by sin. He offers deliverance through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's the invitation we throw out across this book at Sunday night, after Sunday night, and Sunday morning, etc. Three invitations, I dare you to take it. Three invitations every week. One, what? One is for the fellow who's bound to his sin by cart rope, once to the cart rope, but not the cart rope. The gospel can break the bands of sin. And the other is the invitation for people who've just gone a little ways and are holding on to your sin by the thread of a cobweb. Tip it. Break it.
Put it apart!
And so tonight, if you're here and some sin is about to bind you, but it's yet a cobweb, break it while you can. If it's a cart rope, come to Him who alone can break it, even Jesus. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please? I lift your bow and your eyes are closed. You'll hear better sermons than you've heard tonight, but you'll never hear one that is more needed than the one you heard tonight. You'll hear sermons more eloquent, more orderly, with a better delivery. But you'll never hear a subject that you need more than you the subject you've heard tonight. Beloved members of our church, don't shake it off. Don't shake it off. Face it tonight. Face it. Admit that there's a cobweb forming. I wonder how many would shake tonight for the aisles. Not a rope yet. It's not a cart rope yet. But I do see a little cobweb. I do see a little cobweb. For the aisles, the tie is not very strong yet, but I am tied to something wrong. Maybe it's that first string. That first cigarette. Maybe it's that first rebellion against your mother or father. Maybe it's the cheating on the test. Or the listening to gossip or critical tongue. Or are you going a step further than that? Maybe you said something yourself. A criticism about somebody. Or maybe it's been one little pill. Or maybe it's been one little temper tantrum. You can still break it. You're only bound by a cobweb. I wonder how many would say tonight to the aisles, as you've been speaking, the Holy Spirit has pointed a cobweb out to me in my life. I see something that has not yet become a cart rope, but I know it could. Thank you for reminding me tonight to break it while it's a cobweb. Pray for me. Lift your hand all over the building. All over the building. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, the saddest case in the room tonight is the person that has the cobweb but doesn't even know it. And by the way, if tonight you said, that's not me, that's not me, it's probably because it's becoming a rope already. A rope already. One of the surest signs that the cobweb is becoming a cart rope is the fact that you don't see that you're inside to it at all. You see what I'm saying? You can't see it. You haven't checked it lately. You don't know it's there. You won't know it's developing. You don't know it's there. You won't see it getting stronger. You better turn before you go too far. The road will get heavier. And the road will get rockier. And the rough will get deeper. And the hills will get steeper. Father, I pray for these folks tonight. God bless these whose hands have been lifted. I pray tonight that cobwebs will be broken all over this room, all over this altar. Now our heads are bound. Maybe for years the cobweb already. God bless you. God love you and I love you. Maybe it's already a cobweb. I wouldn't hang any shit in that little house. There was a cartwheel that came in my life, and it's a cartwheel now. Pray for me. There's something got me bound. Lift your hand for prayer, would you please? All over the building, yes, 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 God bless you. Father, bless these dear ones. These are people as good as I, as good as we. But they just didn't get to hear a sermon one night when it was a cobweb, and now it's a cart rope, and it's not easy. I pray tonight they'll fall at the face of feet of Jesus and call on him. And so, God, have mercy and give me power to overcome it and break the bands of sin. In a few moments, we're going to stand and sing. Whatever you need to do, you do it. You need to come down to the altar and make some decision, you do it. You break a cart rope or a cobweb, you do it. For God's sake, may I remind you this. Whatever size that rope is, it ties you to sin tonight. It'll be bigger and stronger next Sunday night.